Hey everyone, it's Nathan here. I do apologize for running late. I was having some phone difficulties, which has actually been happening for the past 2 weeks. But I jumped on another line, and here I am. So here we are. Here we go. Thank you for waiting. Today is the Larry Goins Inner Circle call on dealing with sellers and buyers and how to communicate with them, whether you're dealing with a seller who is unrealistically trying to get more for their property right now in the marketplace, or you're dealing with a buyer who you're trying to fit in with the right property, maybe for an owner finance deal. And I know, I'm sure there's probably going to be some questions that come up today about the market and how I don't want to say tight it's getting. I want to say tight. Do unique strategies have to be done? Do there have to be alternative marketing methods? You know, and we have to get a little more creative when the market gets hot, right? So the market's really hot right now. Everybody thinks their house is worth $1 million, even though it might only be worth $100,000. But those are some of the things that come up, especially right now with sellers. So on today's call, I want to open up the lines and here. And by the way, I always like to say this. If you have any other type of question in your business, it may be about sellers or buyers, but even if you have something else in your business, feel free to jump in and ask the question as well. We'll get it answered here. And if you don't want to jump on the call and you want to just shoot me an email, I don't encourage that, but you can. Nathan@LarryGoins.com, you can do that as well. So let's open it up, and whoever wants to go first, just jump in there, say your name, and say your question.
Nathan. Good morning, Nathan.
Yes.
How are you?
Good morning. Good. Who's this?
Good. This is Gilbert in San Francisco. Listen, I haven't bought anything yet. I'm new at this, but I was checking the HUD listings for California, and the prospects don't look all that great in California, as expected. So I guess I should be looking for other markets, maybe neighboring states or something. What do you suggest in that arena?
Yeah, absolutely. You said you're trying to do owner financing in California, but like the filthy riches model, is that what it is?
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that particular model will not work in California. Larry kind of mentions that in his webinar where he says, hey, this won't work in California where the property values are like phone numbers. Okay, so meaning it's a much more expensive market. There are pockets, like I'll give you an example. I got an investor over there in California, in San Diego, and I know there's pockets over there where there's properties that are around $150,000 to $250,000, and they kind of have that same type of property, but they're a little bit too high. And let me kind of go over this unique opportunity with owner financing that will kind of give you clarity on your question. These types of properties, well, first of all, you could do owner financing on any type of property, okay? Any commercial, single family, you could do owner financing on anything, okay? But what makes this opportunity very unique, the reason why it's at the price point that Larry talked about, is because if you keep the property value under like $110,000 and under, first of all, you eliminate the competition of owner financing, which is banks, right? Conventional banks, Chase, BB&T, Wells Fargo, BOA, so on and so forth. They typically don't lend on properties that are under that amount. Okay, they usually start around $125,000 and above. There's very few lenders around the country that will lend on a property that is under $100,000. So right there is the setup of the search criteria. Properties anywhere as low as $10,000 or $15,000 to as high as about $100,000, $105,000. is going to be your search criteria. So what does that mean for location? Well, you're not going to probably find that in California. You're probably going to find that the closest to you is going to be like Arizona, Nevada, Texas. That would be the closest ones to you. If you still want to, if you don't mind investing all the way over, like for example, I have a great point to bring this up. I have a student right in Los Angeles, young guy, just closed the deal last week, and he bought it all the way in Alabama, Birmingham, right on the outskirts of Birmingham. So you can do it virtually. You can do it if you're in California. You can do it all across the country. I do it from around the world. But you have to do it in the specific states that are not going to have or specific search criteria that's going to be typically under $100,000. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that helps a lot. Now I know what to target. And even if I did work to stay in California and keep looking, of course, I wouldn't give up looking in California because there are some pockets, as you say.
Absolutely.
But I'll probably have to do a different kind of marketing to access those things, huh?
Correct. It's owner financing is, this is what I like to say. You said your name was Gilbert, right?
Right.
So Gilbert, this is what I like. I whenever I'm doing a certain type of strategy in a market, I use this word. Is it part of the culture? Culture. Here's what I mean. Do the people in that area, are they familiar with the words owner financing? Is it normal? Do people talk about it at the local diner? Do people, is it normal to see it in the local advertising or classified ads? So is it a normal thing to see owner financing? Now, I'm originally from up Massachusetts. Properties are very expensive, $10 million, as low as $1 million. And I'll tell you, even myself, my own property over there is over $1 million. The normal verbiage for the word owner financing does not apply in single-family properties. It does apply more commonly in commercial real estate. So what does that mean? That means that it's not part of the culture in single-family property. It's not like it's average, like people are always talking about it. So if you, when you're looking for properties that match this criteria of this owner financing filthy riches model, you want to find properties that it's part of that culture, like people talk about it. I'll give you an example. In Alabama, in Georgia, and even in Texas, they actually, if you could go to Craigslist, you could go online classified, you will see ads that say owner financing or owner financing available, right? You'll see all those kinds of ads. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. If I were to look at that particular owner financing aspect on Zillow, Zillow would give me enough information to know if that's part of the lexicon of the area, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If whether it's Zillow, Realtor.com, any one of those, if you put in the search criteria, and let me give you a little bit of that search criteria right now. You put in that search criteria, you can start it off around $10,000 to as high as $100,000. The minimum square footage should be, in my opinion, 1,200 square feet. Do not dip lower than 1,000 square feet. So if you want to come in around 1,150, I like 12 or 1,250 as a minimum. Three bedroom, two baths, or 3-1, 3-1.5 is nice. You can get 4-2. We're making an offer today. Me and my team are making an offer today on a 4-2. And it's 1,500 square feet, so that's not too bad. The other thing is, square footage, bathrooms. You'll tend to find these properties have a little bit of land on them, so they'll either be sitting on half an acre or even more. They'll have even more than an acre. So that's kind of like what they'll see. These are more rural properties. They're not in the center city. They're not in the little outskirts suburbia. They're a little bit out more than that. So they're further out,
which is what I'm looking for anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your answers.
Do you have any other questions? Or?
Not right now, but I'll come back if I do.
Okay, sounds great. Sounds great. Good talking to you, Gilbert.
Thanks. Bye.
right. Let's open it up for the next person. Just jump on in there.
Hi, Nathan. It's Mary. I may be in and out because I'm at the office.
Mary. Yeah.
I had a question about those rural area or those other areas that you're talking about. Do you already have buyers lined up in those areas, or do you have a problem? I'm not sure what you're doing, if you're wholesaling or keeping them. But if you're wholesaling, are you having an issue with buyers in those areas? Generally, they like to be in the hot market areas.
Right, yeah, especially you're absolutely right. For wholesalers, you're typically going to be a little bit closer. You want to look for more of those revitalization areas where there's a little bit more rehabbing going on. If you come across a property, which we have, I remember there was one property. It was rural in Fayetteville, North Carolina, very rural, and it needed a complete gut job. Well, what we did is we just turned around and wholesaled it as a handyman special. To a homeowner, they were willing to relocate and all that stuff, but we had to wholesale that thing. It was just too much work. So I'm not saying that's a commonality or a common thing that happens, but typically when you're out in the rural area, you're probably going to be more like an owner financing situation, than rather just quick flipping wholesaling kind of stuff. So I would say, other strategies outside, because normally when you're doing wholesaling more actively, it's closer to the city, right on the outskirts, suburbia, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And then I had another question. Reference the contract, purchase contracts that you use. I know there's a one-pager, and then there are also the approved realtors association type contract. Which do you prefer using?
Yeah. Okay, so if you're working with an agent, you must. Well, 99.5% of the time, they're going to make you use their contract.
Exactly.
Yeah. So usually not going to budget that.
Right.
Yeah, okay. When you're talking direct with sellers, don't use the big board contract. Use your own contract. Use the one-page offer. One-page offer is a great place to start off with, or some people use a purchase and sale contract. But, yeah, one-page offer works well.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Glad you snuck on today.
Yeah.
I know you usually listen, but today you're getting in there.
Yes.
Thanks for joining in.
Oh, you got it. I think I can learn something maybe just by listening in, even if I can't participate,
Absolutely. That's fine. That's great. All right. Thanks for joining in. Keep me updated, by the way, on the two properties. I'm so excited for you. And I know I'll share a little bit of your story. Just so everybody knows. But actually, everyone who's listening, Mary has been plugging away very diligently with her marketing. She's been doing drop mail. She's not new to this business. She's been in real estate for some time, but she's been dedicated to her marketing. That's one thing I must say. You must. I don't care what avenue you're using for marketing. Okay? If you're using word of mouth marketing, be dedicated to it. Be really good at it. If you're using direct mail, be consistent with it. Don't give up on it, right? So you have to find the marketing that works for you, that you enjoy or comfortable with, and just work at that marketing. And Mary's been very dedicated to that, and her marketing style, very committed to her business. And I believe it's I don't know if it's by today, but definitely two contracts this week. Is that safe to say? Two contracts this week.
Yes, one for sure.
Okay.
The other one I'm waiting to follow up with me, but she gave me a verbal acceptance over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
great.
Waiting for her to get back with me on that one. So I'm supposed to go and get the contract signed today on the other one.
Awesome. Yeah, great. Please keep me updated on that. Thanks, Mary.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Okay, let's open it up for the next question.
Hey, Nathan, it's Forrest.
Forrest, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I heard good. I heard you and Mary had a great conversation. Awesome.
We did. She didn't tell me about the two deals, but Yeah, that's cool. She did tell me about her marketing there. She's pretty cool.
Well, Forrest, let me tell you something. She told me that it was direct impact from your conversation.
Oh, wow. Well, that's cool. Well, good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad I could help. That's awesome.
Yes.
How is that so, Mary?
You gave me perspective, actually, for us, because like Nathan said, I have been at it a while, and I'm thinking, okay, why is it taking so long? Why is nothing happening? I've had some pretty interesting conversation with sellers calling in. One even, gave me a few explicit words when I offered him my price, and so it was just kind of hard getting at it. So you gave me perspective. But the deal just came through. The reason why I didn't share it with you because I didn't have it at the time, actually. So that one just came through. I went to her home because she was willing to come off of her price, before I went to visit, the property. And that's one of the first ones that did that. So I was like, okay, let me go see it and see, what it's about. We kind of went back and forth a little bit, and she did come off of it a little. So I thought it was worth following through. The numbers are like 80%, and it all depends on which buyer would get it, exactly what they want to do to it. And it's I shouldn't call it a higher end property, but it's definitely over 200,000. It would be closer to 300,000 ARV on it. Once they do what they're going to do to it, or I got some buyers that want to hold. They just want a rent and hold. A rent is good. It's about 2,000 a month for rent. And so I thought, okay, well, maybe this let me accept it and see where it goes. So that's where I'm at. And on the other one, I offered her 80% over the phone. And she was supposed to speak with her husband or her ex-husband about it and get back with me. So I'm waiting for her to follow up. So, again, it just gave me perspective. Mm-hmm. Stay focused. And I love what you were saying about if it's meant for me, then it will happen. That's what you said, your wife said to you for us. And this gave me some perspective. We kind of want things when we want it, but it doesn't always happen that way. We just need to have faith and continue to move forward, and things will happen, and that's the reason why I'm staying at it, even though I feel like I'm not getting the results as fast as I want them. Yeah.
Well, cool. That's good. I wish it, my advice worked as well for me sometimes as it does for other people.
Yes. You need reminding. So somebody will come along and tell you something that you that will be helpful for you, just like you did for me.
Good. Good. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
Very proud of you and for you. That's awesome.
Yes. And I'm looking into that Facebook thing. So I'm getting my website. I went back after 22 and
thank you.
Working on my website. And I got the podio issue situated. I called in and it was backwards. It wasn't just me. I'm thinking I am computer literate, so I don't know why I'm having such a hard time. But so yeah, I've got some things lined up since I spoke with you, and I'm feeling better. I'm not feeling as overwhelmed with no results like I was, I think, when I spoke with you. I should say no results because I'm learning. I'm learning and I'm growing, of course, and I got everything lined up and systems in place. So I shouldn't say no results, just not the results that I want when I want them. You know how we can be sometimes. We can get ahead of ourselves and want things when we want them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that, as I grow, it becomes more about the numbers and less about the I need this deal. Even though I would like to have more deals, but it becomes more about, I have to put this amount of money into my marketing, make sure that it's working well in order to get a deal.
Yeah.
So, and haters are going to hate, right, Nathan?
Yes. No matter what.
That's okay.
So,
yes, and I think you.
Some people, they're crazy.
I agree. And I think sellers, you're thinking that, okay, well, you're just lowballing them or you're just doing this. And like the one that said yes on this one, I'm supposed to go get signed tonight. I was like, no, I kind of had to share with her. I said the reason why my numbers are where they are, and then I broke it down for her, is it's not that I'm lowballing you. It's that I want to make it a win-win solution for both of us. I said, but I know where I need to be on my numbers, and I can't go higher than that. So anyway, she finally agreed. She didn't give me the number that I wanted, but she did come down off of her number. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, as Nathan's been trying to teach me, that I'm very stubborn in doing, but as he's been trying to teach me, is that you just get the contract. Don't necessarily worry about the beginning number. I haven't had success with following through on a deal with that yet, but I still see the logic and I see the point. And so, right. I mean, I'm doing that, you know, with a couple people. I'm just, you know, throwing some numbers out there, and they're like, you're going to give me that for the house? I said, maybe.
That's what I told them.
Mm-hmm. So,
and we're seeing, and you know, right now in this marketplace, if you're dealing directly with sellers, it's a kind of that's kind of like this little juggling act, because we got people who think they're, and we know as investors, we know they're overthinking their price point of their house, and it's kind of like we have to wake them up a little bit and sell the beans, but they won't talk to us until, you know, we kind of speak close to their number. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit of an educational process. And also that's why we're hearing a lot of other, you know, a lot of people are in the marketplace, you're hearing other people try different avenues of getting deals or leads, you know, in different methods. But they're there. But, you know, I was just talking to earlier this morning, I was talking to a client, and he said, he was talking about the market, and he's like, man, don't get me wrong. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm all about making America great, but man, bring me back George Bush. I was like, someone's looking for a recession. Because he's a very savvy investor. He's been investing for over 15 years, and he's like, man, I'm all about a good economy, but man, this is just crazy. He's like, we need to correct this real estate market. So, just interesting. So, yeah, a little hurdles you have to overcome. But Forrest, what was the question that you had that you wanted to get
on
today?
So this is great, you know, going to Mary's point and to your point about, you know, just tying somebody down. So I had this lady, you know, hit me off a Facebook ad, and she said, I got this property down on Lee Street in Richmond. And I was like, I felt like the cartoon, you know, with the dollar signs bulging out of my eyeballs, because that's like, you know, prime real estate down in Richmond. And I was like, cha-ching, you know, this is it, right? This is my good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this lady is nuts, man. I mean, she's just, I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, the lady's psychic. And so anyway, you know, she said, meet me at my house. I threw her an offer. I threw her a one-page letter of intent. And I just went ARV on it. I said, you know, I'm going to throw Nathan's strategy against the wall and see if it sticks, right? So I threw an ARV number on the offer intent, you know, because the area is good. I mean, they're tearing down properties and building, you know, new properties there and
stuff.
Oh,
wow.
I was like, I'm just going to throw ARV out there and just shock this lady, right? And I did, man. She texted me back. She said, I'll take the cash offer. I said, okay. All right. So I was like, man, I got this. And Nathan's going to work for me here, right? And
okay.
So I said, when can I come and sign the contract and look at the property? She said, how about Saturday morning? I said, all right, Saturday morning. So Saturday morning in the rain, I get up, get all my clothes on, get all pretty, shaved and everything, head on down to my, you know, my diamond. I'm going to pick up my diamond, you know. And I get down there, knock on the door, nobody's there. Knock on the door, nobody's there. Knock on the door, nobody's there. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm getting stood up, you know. This is a joke, you know. Some other wholesaler in the neighborhood is playing with me or something. And so I called her up, and I said, and all of a sudden I heard, you think you're going to get me to talk to you when you just call me from another number? I know, I got your number. And I'm like, hello, my name is Forrest. You know, hi, Forrest. I'm like, this lady is whacked out, man, you know. I said, you know, we're supposed to have a meeting right now at your house. She goes, oh, man, I totally forgot about it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, here it goes, you know.
So then
I rescheduled for the next day, and this time I was smart enough to call her first. So I called her. I said, are we going to make our appointment today? And she goes, nah, I'm tracking somebody right now. I said, excuse me? She said, I work for a bounty hunter, and I'm tracking somebody right now. What am I going to call you later? I said, you know what? I'm just going to email you this offer, and you sign it if you sign it, all right? And if you don't, you don't.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm done with this game. So anyway, so yeah, I tried a full price offer on a house that probably needs $40,000 in work, and I still couldn't get the doggone thing found. So I don't know.
Well, she's still out there hunting.
She's still out there hunting. So I'll call her back again and see what's going on. But, you know, I mean, I don't know how much more I can offer than the full price offer. You know? So that's my question. How much more should I offer to get them to drop everything and stop tracking fugitives and show up at the appointment?
Oh, man. But you don't have that happen too often, though, right, Forrest? I've heard we've talked about this quite a few times. You mentioned on the call. Most of your people do show up, right? I mean, this is.
I've been stood up twice this month.
Twice
this month? I've been stood up twice this month, yeah.
Is it common for you, though? Because I've never heard it. I haven't heard it come up from you before other than this lady and the other one.
Maybe they just like you better than they like me, Nathan.
No, come on.
Maybe you just talk a little more kind on the phone than I do.
No. Come on. But no, on average, do you get? I mean, you're doing it face to face as well. Do you normally get set up? And what? I mean, do you text them or call them before you go out to their property? Well, obviously not.
Yeah, I actually tried something pretty cool. I learned out at Care Camp. This thing's pretty neat. I tried something, but nobody will answer the email. I don't know what the problem is, but there's this thing called Bonjoro. I don't know if you ever heard of this app. It's called Bonjoro, and you can basically take a little video of yourself real quick, like introducing yourself, like, hey, you know, my name's Forrest, and we're going to come to our appointment, you know, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and, you know, just kind of let you know what's going to happen. You know, it's going to take 20 minutes of your life, and blah, blah, blah. But nobody ever emailed me back. So, anyway, so point and it won't open the email. So I've tried that a couple times, and you know, I make a pretty good video, but it just, you know, it's not, you know, getting anybody to show up per se. But you know, I think it, I mean, what people say is it adds to the credibility, and they know your face, and you know, they know you're alive and who you are
nice
and
touch.
So forth. So
nice touch.
So it's this little app called Bonjour, and it's free. And it's something, you know, you might want to play around with. I think another way to do it would be to, you know, when you're on the phone call, be like, hey, you know, I'm going to send you a link to my YouTube video that, you know, introduces myself. You know, that would be another way without the app. If you just wanted to make a YouTube video and do it like that, that might be another way to do it. But, yeah, getting stood up and getting lied to, I think it's just part of the business. I don't know. But, you know, I got on a phone call this morning. I was, you know, this is, and then, and I have, she got on, I answered the phone from my website lead, because I have my website go straight to me. And I said, hello? And she goes, I'm sorry, I must have the wrong number. And it sounded just like a recorded messages, you know, like one of those recorded women or whatever. So I just hung up the phone, and I was busy anyway. And so she calls back. She goes, is this the Forest Buys Houses website or isn't it? I said, yes. She goes, well, why'd you hang up on me? I said, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. So anyway, she got to talking to me, and, you know, she's settling an estate. And, you know, she has to sell a house. And she said, you know, maybe I'm getting a little ahead of the game or anything, but, you know, what do you do? I said, well, you know, I'll buy your house if you have to settle the estate house. She goes, well, what's the best way to do it? I said, well, I can send you an offer that I assume all the risk, or I can come to the house and look at it and give you a solid offer that I'll close with. And she said, well, why don't you do that? I said, okay, well, when can I come over? She goes, how about now? I said, okay. So I got my truck and I rode on over there. And, you know, the lady's mother died and she got the house and she's living in it. And, you know, she's still grieving and stuff like that. But then she got all sketchy. She goes, but I'm not supposed to be doing this without my lawyer. I said, well, I don't think that's true. I said, you're just inviting me into your home and I'm just going to take pictures while I'm inside of it. So we're not really doing anything, you know, wrong. And she goes, well, I think that, she said, I think that my lawyer would have a problem with this. I said, I don't think so. I think you're just trying to get an idea. If you're the executor of the estate and, you know, the lawyer's trying to sell the estate, I think you should be fine. I think you'd be okay with it. I said, because you can sell your house to whoever you want to. I mean, the executor of the estate doesn't have full control. I mean, should have some control over who they sell the house to. And so anyway, met with her, and she was a nice lady, and, you know, I got to, you know, bless her a little bit and, you know, just be kind. And, you know, she ended up sending me a text message and saying thank you for, you know, being so nice and caring. And, you know, she'll let me know what the – she wants to wait until she hears if the lawyer wants me to send an official offer or not. But you just kind of have to be ready to bounce, right? So you just got to be ready to do what they need to do. So – anyway, so my question with that is, how long would something like a probate take? I mean, if it, you know, was a trustee, it's not a trustee sale. She's the executor of the estate, but the estate attorney would have to approve it or something, right? Do you have experience with this?
Yeah. So first of all, I'll be very clear and upfront. I do not have any experience with probate. I do know some general formalities and what happens in the process. For example, I do know probates do take longer. Typically, I'm anywhere between 3 to 6 months. They model the term like short sales. They take a little bit longer. I almost did probate a number of years ago. Like, I want to say probably like 10 years ago. But when I learned how long it took to do it, it just didn't fancy me. I just wasn't into it. Right now, though, you're probably going to hear that come up quite often, that probate, divorce leave, but because right now the way the market is so hot, people are trying to go for different avenues for leave. So that tends to be pretty common in a hotter market. But when it comes to some details and formality, I do not know. I would have to do either my own research or I may go with a specific question, but personally, I've never done a probate deal.
Okay.
Yeah, I came across one of those. This is Mary. I came across one of those, and the realtor told me that my offer had to be accepted by the judge, and it couldn't be any lower than a certain amount, and I found that interesting, actually, that the judge had the final say as far as what an acceptable price for it was. Of course, I wanted to come lower than that acceptable price, but I still found it interesting that the judge had the final say on it.
Well, maybe that's because of a lien or something, or an amount owed to certain debts.
Exactly. Judge doesn't always make. Yeah, I know, and I don't know if this is state specific actually, but I know a judge doesn't make it always the final call. But that might be because of where it's at in probate. But yeah, forced rights, if there is any liens on the property that needs to be satisfied. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Interesting.
So then I have another example of, you know, you have to fish around and find out who the real decision makers are. You know, like I had a lady hit me up about a, waterfront property down in North Carolina that I would turn into an Airbnb in a New York minute I can get this lady in a contract, but she's like a wet noodle, you know, she just keeps slipping out of my hand. And you know, but the real deal is like her son is in Hawaii and he's the one
What happened?
She likes me. Yeah.
Forrest.
Yeah.
Forrest, hold on. Just rewind. Just rewind. Just rewind just a little bit. You cut out there.
Okay. All right. So, what I was trying to say, I guess, is that you got to get to the decision maker, you know, because you know this lady keeps trying to run everything through her son, and she said, "Would you mind if he just called you?" Please, I encourage you. She goes, you know, he doesn't really trust you. I say, well, that's probably because he hasn't talked to me. So, you know, sometimes you deal with this, you know, interference. And, you know, I don't know how to circumvent that except just keep playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suggestions on how to, you know, get around the front line? I mean, but she's on the deed. I mean, I looked up the records. It's just she's relying on her son. You know, she's the only one on the deed. She's the, you know, she's the only one since her husband passed.
Right, and she's on the deed. But you're saying the son is the one who kind of like the gatekeeper here.
Yeah, telling her whether to do it or not. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any a problem about finding who the owner is. I don't think that's the situation. I think more of the situation is just, you know.
Massage.
Going through him. Yeah, massage. Yeah. Yep. That's a great way to put it. Going through him. Yeah. And, you know, I would say, I mean, would you find like he's given any pushback at all so far? Or other than, hey, I want to talk to the owner.
Yeah, I had $100. Yeah, I had $100 EMD written down on the contract, and he pushed back and told that she wanted a $5,000 deposit. I said, okay, fine. I'll put a $5,000 deposit down on this house, but I put a 15 banking day requirement that the deposit has to be in there, so I have, you know, 21 calendar days to figure out if I want to put $5,000 on the table or not. So, you know, it's kind of like what you know everybody says is if you got to give something, take something. So, you know, that was my renegotiation of it. So we'll see. Maybe, but yeah, that is a nice house. I would take that one in a heartbeat. But, so I would need funding for that. So if anybody's listening and wants to fund the Airbnb, y'all should give me a shout out.
Yeah. And actually, Forrest, by the way, one, put your number on here as well. And also, later on today, Forrest, I'm going to shoot you an email about some Airbnb stuff. So, I hate calling it Airbnb, but short-term rental. Sorry, I keep short-term saying Airbnb. Because short-term rentals, I want to just email you about that. So if you don't hear from me by the end of today, because today's like a really packed day. If you don't hear from me, just ping me and give me a buzz because I need to give this over to you. I got a few things to give over to you.
Cool.
But yeah.
But yeah, that probably
you want to throw your number out
probably there? Worth. Yeah, my phone number is 703-786-4419, and so it'd probably be $350 to $400 is what would be needed for the loan or the partnership, and. The value of the house is probably worth $525 to $550. It's three lots. It's on the Albemarle Sound, down by Elizabeth City or something like that. So it's a pretty cool little place. So it's got an elevator. I've never bought a house with an elevator before.
That would be your first.
Yeah, that'd be your first. Yeah. So.
Yeah, we can talk more about that one a bit later. All right, so that sounds good. Good stuff, good stuff. All right, let's open it up to the next question. Anybody else who's got a question who wants to jump in here and get your questions answered? Again, it can be about working with sellers, can be working about with buyers, or if there's any other hurdle or challenge that you're facing in your business, even if it doesn't pertain specifically for buyers and sellers. I know it could be helpful and beneficial. So jump on in there. Jump on in here and get your question answered.
Evening, this is Alex Flores.
Hey, Alex.
Hey,
it's been too long.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I've been
too long.
A little late. And,
No, yeah, I know. I've been, you and us talking, it's been way too long. Good.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been dealing with the property that I have under, or that, mm-hmm. that I purchased. And it's actually uh-huh. in escrow, out of escrow. Now it's in escrow again. So we're looking to close, hopefully.
Okay.
This August, I think they said August 13th, hopefully.
Okay.
So, but I just had questions regarding, because I hear you guys talking about like the Airbnb, is it Airbnb and VRBO pretty much the same thing? There's
yeah,
different companies?
It's under the category. Yeah, it's under the category of short-term rental. The proper, like, I don't want to call it proper. The legal terminology in real estate is short-term rental. Right, so it's not it's not a hotel, but it's a short-term rental. The company Airbnb is a company who has kind of took over that name. Right, they're very predominant, so people just say, "Oh, Airbnb." But there's a lot of them actually. Personally, I use Booking.com. I have short-term rentals. I use Booking.com, which is actually where most of the revenue comes from. In my short-term rental business, is Booking.com. There's short-term rental. Yes, we are on Airbnb as well. And then there's what's that other one? I just forgot. I just forgot the name. Of course, now that I'm on it, there's the one you mentioned, and there's HomeAway. HomeAway is what it is. So there's that also, and all those, and I'm sure there's a lot of smaller ones. We're probably just naming the biggest ones. But they all fall into the category of short-term rentals. Yeah.
Okay. And so basically the concept, you purchase the property, whether it be your cash or a private investor's cash, and then you sign up with the company like Booking.com, and they get your property out there and market it. And
yep.
And then as far as repairs, just like anything else, you do the repairs if needed. Something goes wrong. You have are they the property management company as well? Do they handle that? Or
No. let me break that down. So, yes, you can purchase. Okay, I would highly recommend you do purchase the property. There is another mode of thought out there. Where people talk about you don't have to purchase the property, you just become a subleasing manager, which basically means if you find a seller, if you find a landlord, an owner who wants to and is willing to let you lease out the property and do whatever you want with it, like subleasing, right? Which then you use those platforms, those IT platforms, those tech platforms like Booking.com and so on and so forth, they do the marketing. Those IT platforms, Booking.com, Airbnb, they do the marketing for you, and you do the management of that customer. Okay?
Okay,
so they'll do all the marketing. You got to get the posting done. You got to put the listings on there, and then they'll market and fill your room, your rentals for you. And there should be some customer service involved, okay? Now, you can do this virtually. You can. I do it virtually. But me, I'm not physically there at my short-term rentals. I'm not welcoming my guests. That doesn't
Right.
mean you shouldn't. That doesn't mean you should not do it, okay? I have a property manager that actually greets my guests, okay? She goes there. She's there at the apartment. She gives them the key, walks them through the apartment. Hey, here's this, here's that. Do you have any questions? And all that stuff, okay? So now that comes down to how you want to run your business.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do that, that's fine. I know Airbnb, and you know, Alex, just to shed some light on this, and I know Forrest and I, who was just on the call earlier, we've had this conversation. back last year, I took me, my wife, and my two daughters. We took like a 7-month European tour. We started in Milan, Italy, and we went all over Europe, and it took us about 7 months. And one of the things I did on this trip was two things that I've never really done. One was short-term rental. I never did the whole Airbnb thing before. So I actually, on that whole journey, I got to experience what other hosts were doing. okay? They were, and kind of was a little bit for me with, like, market research as well, because I already have short-term rentals, but I never experienced what other people were doing. And what I discovered was, I noticed with Airbnb, most of the time people, the host, never was at the property. They were never there. What they did was they get a lockbox, they put it outside, and they would tell us via the app, right? And say, hey, the key, I'm not at the property, but the key is here. If you have any questions, just let me know, that kind of thing. And personally, I love that. I didn't want to meet the host, but now let me make something very clear. I am a millennial. I am not a baby boomer, okay?
Yeah.
Know your audience. Know your customer. Because, for example, where I have my short-term rental, they are baby boomers that are coming to the area. They're not millennials. It's more just a little bit older crowd. And they want someone to greet them at the door. They want someone to tell them all the little local hot spots. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Keep that in mind. Know your audience. Know the market. Know who is going to be using your, you know, your short-term rentals, because you want to kind of cater it to them. And I actually did a little research online that millennials tend to like to not greet the host. They don't want to see the host. They just want to be able to grab their key and check in. That's why we're seeing, especially with Marriott, for example, Marriott Hotel, they are slowly introducing, first they already introduced keyless entry where you don't need a key. It's already on your phone. You don't need a plastic key card. And in the very next 3 to 5 years, there's not going to be people like reception. There's not going to be, you don't have to go check in at the front desk, okay? The whole concept of not seeing people to go get to what you need is going to grow in the coming years. So keep that in mind also. I wanted to just share that insight with you, because that is the future, and it also depends on the crowd. And then to answer your other question, if you do buy these types of properties, I personally recommend buying it with, if you're not going to use your own capital, buy it with a partner, own the property. Because let's put it this way. Let's just put a business up. If you are going to do the whole manager and use other people's properties, yeah, that's fine. You're going to put a whole lot of work into someone else's property, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to put a whole lot of work into a business. But if you're already an investor, then buy the property. Get the benefit of owning the piece of real estate. Even if you do it with a partner and you but like have them do all the funding, that's fine. But own the real estate. You know what I mean? So right. I recommend going that route rather than just trying to run a business and earn the business income. Own the property as well. So there's that opportunity. And make sure if you're doing it virtual to have a good property management company that does that, you know, that will greet your guests. Or it could even be a local family member, a friend in that market who would do that as a part-time thing, right? So that's another thing I found as well. When I was greeted in, I think, Germany, I was greeted by someone from Airbnb, but it wasn't the actual host. It was a friend. And they wanted us to show us the property. So we saw a combination of things, but most of the time we saw people who were not at the property. They just told us where the key was. So, I hope that answered your question and give you also some other insight to that.
Yeah, no, I pretty much, I just wanted to double check because I haven't got into that far into it, but, yeah, I pretty much understood the concept of it. And the companies... How do they, like, say, for instance, your short-term rentals, do they guarantee you X amount of dollars, X amount of percentage, or how does that work as far as?
No, they actually don't guarantee anything. Your property can sit there empty. They don't guarantee anything. They do take a commission. They do take a commission. Who is it? Airbnb, you make more commission. I know that. I've seen that. Because what Airbnb did in the industry, they shifted all the expenses, the little fees, they shifted over to the consumer. And so the host makes more money. Yeah. Now with Booking.com and HomeAway, what they've done is they shift those fees over to the host. So you actually make less money as a host with Booking.com and all that. So, that's what they did. They kind of just changed the but they do not guarantee anything. Another unique thing, have you ever used Uber before? You've used Uber or Lyft?
Yeah.
Okay. What Uber does, you know when they do a surcharge, like there's a high demand and they surge the pricing?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do the same thing. Airbnb does the same thing with their properties. They actually, if they see a high demand and a bunch of people trying to book a room or in the area, Airbnb will automatically start increasing the prices for you by itself. So Airbnb has that added technology that a lot of other places don't, like HomeAway doesn't do that. So Airbnb has a very unique opportunity there where you can actually make a little bit more money based on surges and demand. So they help increase. Airbnb will make a little bit of money too at the same time. Yeah. They're going to make a little more money off your listing as well. But they also help to make you some more money also because they're automatically increasing the price of your home comparable to what the demand is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like stocks kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I mean, when people buy it, they go up, you know, in that sense.
Yeah, yeah. The best example I give you is like Uber when it comes to surge pricing. That's kind of like the same model. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Also, as far as you guys were talking about funding as well, and you guys could have talked about this earlier. I came on the call late. But
sure.
Have you ever heard of an investor getting a small business loan to start their business or, you know, to buy real estate or, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you this, Alex. I think there's more money in the marketplace than there is deals. I think there's, like, right now, I don't know if you've seen these come in the mail, in the post office, or maybe you, I don't know, see it online and stuff. Right now, there are more financing companies, more lending companies. They're offering, like, $250,000 of business lines of credit. You know, they're just trying to push money on people to get the lending going. I think there's more money than there is, opportunity, properties available, good properties available. So the lending, I think, is definitely out there. I don't think that's a problem.
Okay.
I think it's just a matter of people getting creative and knowing how can I use the funding that's available to purchase the property. So, yeah, you can get business lines of credit. That's fine. You know, as long as you let them know, you know, what they're usually going to ask what you're using it for. That's where you might have to get a little creative sometimes. I've heard some people get creative. Some lenders are just fine, and they'll give you the loan for real estate. There's also peer-to-peer lending, which is very new on the market for the past 5 to maybe 7 years or so. Indiegogo, well, not Indiegogo, but they were the launching pad for it. But Indiegogo is an example. Peer-to-peer lending, any peer-to-peer lending sites, crowdfunding sites, they will fund real estate deals. And another one as an example is a newer one that's to the market. It's called Ground Floor. Ground Floor. You can look up Ground Floor and give people the opportunity from anywhere in the country to actually be a lender on real estate deals. What people will do, what investors will do, they'll post their property on the platform of Ground Floor, and then people from all over wherever can lend as little as $100 on a real estate deal. So you can actually have your deals funded through crowdfunding. So crowdfunding is a very unique opportunity as well for financing.
Oh, okay. And these are normally like shorter term loans or, you know?
No, they're really flexible. The only time you're going to hear short term loans is usually in hard money loans, rehab.
Right.
Those are usually a 6 month term, higher rate. But everything else, especially if you're getting like business credit, those things typically run like 5 years. Could be 7 years. It's gonna vary depending on the institution, the lender. So it could be, could be a 72-month loan. You know, it depends. 60-month loan. It would depend on the lender. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty much all the questions I had.
Okay. And listen, if you have any other questions, Alex, about like short-term rentals and whatnot, just feel free to shoot me an email on that as well, and I can actually send you some resources, the same ones that I've sent Forrest And the same ones I'm going to send for us about that later on today. So just shoot me an email as a reminder, and I will get that over to you. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. All right, good stuff. So with that being said, speaking of email, if you didn't have an opportunity to get your question answered today or you want to get me a question outside of the call, that's fine. Shoot me an email. Nathan@LarryGoins.com. That's Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, at LarryGoins.com, and I will get back to you at some point today. And, again, thank you so much for getting on the call and everyone who shared their story, their results, what's been happening in their business. And be sure that next time when we get on the next call, which is the deal analysis call, second and fourth Wednesday of every month, the next one will be the second Wednesday of the month, will be the deal analysis call. But be prepared. Have your questions ready ready to go and ready to fire out your questions so we can have a great and interactive conversation. All right. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call today, and we'll talk real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thanks.
Sure. Nathan. Yeah. Sure thing.